The message tonight is called Living Above the Line. Living Above the Line. And we're going to start off in verse 37 of chapter 18 of the book of John. And it says, then Pilate, who was a Roman governor, a judge or a ruler of some sort at the time, and it says, then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? Now tonight, I just felt the Lord telling me that I needed to talk to you guys about happiness. And I needed to make a contrast. I needed to make it clear, why should you even consider coming to Christ? What's the point? What do you get? What do you get that you don't already have in the world? And while it isn't about you just coming to the Lord because of what you're going to get, there is something, there is a clear contrast between what's in the world and what's not. I've been doing some recent studying and looking over old notes and everything like that, and one of the things I found is that it's actually very conclusive. The scientists have proven that the natural level of happiness, the line of happiness, that we live below it, that your normal everyday person lives below the line of happiness, meaning that they're using everything in their life, and science has said this too, that they're using everything in their life just by technicality to try and get above the line. They're trying to become happy. They're trying to find something. They're trying to find a place of fulfillment. I know that there isn't one person in here who isn't doing this. Nobody's escaped what I'm talking about tonight. And so everybody in this room, you would genuinely have to want to take your own life. That's the only reason why you wouldn't still be trying to be happy in some sense. Because a depression sets in. And so just by searching for happiness, you're fighting for survival. And some of you in here, you're like me, or like I was, not like I am today. And if you don't find something soon, you won't survive. You know, at one point in my life, I was really trying to find everything I could to fill my heart with, you know, from womanizing, you know, constantly I had girls texting my phone and, you know, wanting to do this thing and that thing. And, you know, I actually was at one point even had an opportunity to get signed to Universal Records. I had everything at my fingertips that my generation would want and that this generation can offer. I had every last bit of it. All of it was at my disposal. I could choose what I wanted to do. But secretly, what I wasn't letting anyone know is that I would wake up in the middle of the night and cry because of how miserable I was. There would be these moments where there was just no one, where all of the texting had stopped, where, you know, all of the weed I was smoking and, you know, everything, all of the music and the writing and all of these different things that I was doing, trying to just keep life going. You know, sometimes we're calling what we have happiness, but it's not happiness. It's just the pursuit of it. It's just the pursuit. You're looking for happiness. You haven't found it. And you're using these things and you're keeping them going. New Yorkers are notorious for this. They're living in such a fast-paced way that they don't even, they're trying to escape their misery. I know because I've lived it. I've been there. And there really isn't any other satisfaction outside of Jesus Christ. Listen, I've accumulated hours of tears. Hours. And I mean that. There's nothing in me trying to give you some pretense or some lies just to get you to do something that's going to make you unsatisfied again at the end of the day. I've given hours of tears because of how fulfilled I am now. Because God changed me. He took me and created me into something that I could have never been in and of myself. I truly is like being born again. It truly is. But unfortunately, there's a reason why, regardless of this misery, we refuse to come to God. There's a reason for it. You see, the Bible talks about something called sin. Sin is originally an arbitrary term. It means to miss the mark, plain and simple. But a lot of people don't actually take that and put it into an idea that they can actually comprehend. You know, they just say the words miss the mark, or they say the word sin. You never have any idea of what you're actually doing. You never really realize it. You don't get it, and you misplace the word. And, you know, all of a sudden you add things to it, and you just get angry whenever you hear it. But sin, I want you to think about it this way. If somebody were to hand me a bow and arrow, because it's an archery term, if somebody were to hand me a bow and arrow, and I were to take the next 50 years to try and hit a mark that was a good distance away, over time, eventually I would hit it. Eventually I would. You know, the first time I definitely wouldn't. The second time I probably wouldn't either. But over time I'm gonna be like, I have to factor in the wind resistance, and I just need to aim a little higher. And oh wait, there's a kickback when I pull back that far. You begin to factor these things in, and eventually you're gonna hit the mark. Before I'm 50, eventually I will hit it. That just is what it is. But the only reason you wouldn't hit it is if you were a blind man and you couldn't, because you can't see it and you're not humble enough to admit that you can. It's plain and simple. And that right there, that little concept that I just explained, that's sin. That's sin. It's you being completely unwilling to reckon with the fact that you can't hit the mark. That you're not hitting it. You're not hitting your own standard of right and wrong. And so you change it to become something that actually becomes, whether it's more palatable or just something that you can reach. It might not necessarily be more palatable for you. Some people are miserable, but they still lower their standard because they can't reach it. You know, it's you, regardless of the fact that there's something in your heart, because you were created that way, there's something in your heart that wants a greater purpose in life. That knows that you're meant for more than what society is handing you. And yet and still you conform that image to be something that you can do in and of yourself, something that you can reach. It's either something that's handed to you, or it's the sum of all of your pleasures put together. It's the same thing every time. It never fails. I've never seen it fail. It was like that with me on both levels. Either I was trying to just mix all my pleasures together and live it, or I just took the cards that were handed to me and said, this is it. I can never be any more than that. Everyone searches for truth. Everyone desires, everyone in this room under the sound of my voice, everyone over the live feed, no matter who you are, everyone wants to know right from wrong and understand the world around them. It hurts us to be blind to the causes of the trials and tribulations, of the struggles that we go through. And finally, everyone desires an unconditional love. Everyone. There's not one of you who don't. I'm not exempt from it. We all do. We all desire to be loved by someone who will look past all of our faults and our frailties, all of our weaknesses, all of our mistakes, and will care about us. We all want that. I wanted that, and I know you do too. But the world can't give us any of what I just talked about. It can't. It's been proven. There was a man named Solomon once. He's recognized by more than just our religion, so I'm not being biased by referencing him. There was a man named Solomon. He was incredibly wise, and anyone who recognizes Solomon knows that. And the man spent his entire life as a king, searching for what was good for men to do. And at the end of the day, you know what his conclusion was? You know what was the grand conclusion of this wise man? He said it was all vanity. It was like trying to catch the wind in the palm of your hand. It was worthless. It did nothing. Listen to me. Jesus Christ can satisfy your heart. There's one songwriter that literally has it. This is the chorus of the song. It says that God, he didn't just whisper I love you from heaven. He shouted love from on the cross. And when I look at, in the Bible, I see that that whisper, there was one man in the Bible who was on the brink of suicide, and just a whisper was able to satisfy his heart and destroy anything within him that continued to want to live that way, that continued to want to end his own life. Just a whisper from God was able to do that. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for God. It was enough for us, but it wasn't enough for him. He wanted to do more. He wanted to give more than that. He wanted to give his life. He wanted to show us what humanity was meant to be. Jesus said that if we were to love one another in the way that, he loved us, that means giving your life for people. That means giving your life for something greater than just yourself or just community. You know, scientists made a very foolish mistake. They have actually said that community seems to be the only thing that makes people happy. But all of human history has proven that that doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't work. It's never worked and it never will. The only thing that works is Jesus. The only thing, and yet and still, we've made our way, we found a way to reject him in our generation. We found a way to say no, and the reason is because we love our darkness. We can admit it. The reason why I knew about Jesus when I was in the world, I knew fully well. The reason why I refused to come to God was because I wanted to live my own life the way I wanted to live it. I didn't want to submit to anything else. I didn't want to. I wanted to continue in my sin, in my missing the mark. And it wasn't because it was making me happy, because it was fulfilling my life. It was because it was mine. But God wants to give you more than you can reach. He wants to. But listen, it starts with you having to make a choice. You have to make a choice that you're not going to live in your misery, that you're not going to live there, that you're not going to make terms with it and be okay with it, that you're going to make a decision to walk away from an old lifestyle. All paths do not lead to peace, folks. It doesn't lead to it. The way is narrow. It's one way. It's one way. You have to understand, when we think about truth, Pilate asked this question. He said, what is truth? He said, what is it? And when we think about truth, we have to understand that a chair is not going to be a car. It's not going to. It's a chair. That's not debatable. We can't argue about that. It's a chair. That's how truth works. It just is the way it is. You cannot conform your idea. You cannot conform it to meet your heart. It just doesn't work. Because you were created for more. The reason why you search for success, not the type of success that you can get normally, but a higher purpose. The reason why you want unconditional love. The reason why you look for truth. The reason why you desire to do the right thing but are never able to do it is because you were created in the image of a God who is the highest thing in all of creation. The Bible says that he is love incarnate. Jesus Christ is God, and he said that he was truth itself. And finally, there's no such thing as righteousness or unrighteousness without the concept of God even existing. God is good. And so all of those things that I just spoke about in your life, I've experienced them, and they only are met if you come to God. They're not met any other way. I'm telling you, as a man who, I'm only 22, but for the time that I did have in the world, I did try everything. I did, and nothing worked. I had the same fast-paced life that my brothers talked about. And nothing works other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You can't just take truth. You can't just take a bunch of good principles and try to fit them into your life and expect it to satisfy you because you have some sort of good. It doesn't work. It's not alive. And I think the worst thing, the moment where sin became that we're not just sinning, but we're walking into wickedness, I think, was when we decided that regardless of the fact that the things that we live with are not satisfying us, that the people aren't satisfying our hearts, you know, they pull on us more than we can give, that the music and the drugs and the alcohol and the life and the success and the academics and all of these different things that I could name, the relationships, no matter what it is, that none of them in and of themselves are enough to satisfy us. The worst thing is, the point where it's begun to boil over into just straight out wickedness is when we decided that God still wasn't good enough, even though those things won't fulfill us. That he's still not good enough for me. Still not. Listen, the Bible talks about a pearl of great price. There was a man, a merchant, and he came and as he was searching through these pearls, he was probably planning to buy them and just sell them again. He had probably done it many times. One day he saw a pearl that was so beautiful that he sold everything he had just to get it. And that's what Jesus Christ did for you. That's a story. It's God giving a parable. It's him trying to explain how he feels about you. But if you reject it, if you reject that love, I once went up to a man, and this was actually like a week ago or two. I went up to a man after watching him down about a 40 ounce of alcohol and told him that God loved him. And after we talked a little bit, he looked at me and asked me, he said, are you saying that I'm going to go to hell, you know, because I believe in this or in that? And he was naming these different religious beliefs that he had. And I was just like, no, you're going to go to hell because you reject the love of God. It has nothing to do with the belief in and of itself. It's the love of God. When you reject that, when God wants to give you truth, when he wants to satisfy your heart, when he wants to be everything for you, when he has the power and is more than willing, when he begins to convey himself, when he begins to convey his heart, and you willingly reject that, it's not one belief system, it's not one false thing of thinking that does that. It's you being completely unwilling to give yourself over to the love of God, to bow before God and bend the knee, to decide that what he says is true is true. Listen, Jesus Christ was the holiest man that ever walked the earth. There's one man in the Bible named Moses, and this man, literally, it says that he spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. That not even the way that I speak to you, but as if one of my brothers or sisters behind me walked up to me and I began to have a conversation with them. That's how this man talked with God. There was another man named Elijah, and he was literally, he didn't even have to die. God took him. He took him up into heaven. That's how holy his life was. That's how given for the benefit of others and for the purposes of God he was. But none of these men, neither of them, made the cut of being called the only son of God. None of them made the cut. None of them. And this man was so holy. The man who walked on the sea and calmed storms with his voice. The man who cleansed lepers. This man was so holy that when he died on that cross, God saw him. And God didn't just see a holy man. God saw us. And God saw the murderers and the child molesters and the rapists. He saw the liars and the thieves and the smugglers, and he saw every last thing that we do. He saw us and crushed that man, annihilated him. Not so that we could continue living the way we're living, but that those who did not want him could come to him and understand his love. Listen, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. I already know that the presence of the Lord, you felt it all night. You already have. And I just want to give you an opportunity to come. Will you just stand with me for a moment? Stand with me. Listen to me. That thing that I said earlier about waking up in the middle of the night and crying, I have a feeling that some of you have cried about your misery too. I have a very strong feeling about that, that some of you are in the same exact place that I was in. And I want to invite not just those people, but anyone who needs to commit their life to Jesus Christ tonight, who knows, who has understood the word that has been spoken tonight, that's heard the testimonies of how various people, one after another, had no ability to fulfill the desires of their own heart, who understands that and wants to come. So I just want to ask that all the believers in the room just begin to pray for the people that are in the aisles that you're in. Just begin to pray for them, that God would just move them and draw them. And I want to give you guys an opportunity right now to come down here and commit your life to Jesus Christ, to set your dignity aside for just a moment and make it about the one who was not ashamed of you. So if you're here and you're under the sound of my voice, just come. Just come now. Come now.
We're believing you, oh God, that every person in here would know the truth, that they would know freedom. And we believe and stand on your word that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we're asking you for freedom right now here in the house of the Lord. Oh God, set the captives free. May they know truth. Lord God, let it be the end of missing the mark. Let it be the end of the bondage of sin. Lord God, I'm asking you right now that you would open blind eyes and they would see you, Jesus Christ, as Savior, as the one who went to the cross, a holy God who laid down his life for all of man, for sinners, that they would be set free, that they would know that there's victory, victory only in the power and the life of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you right now for every person that's come down the aisle, for every person that's come forward for prayer. Lord, I'm asking you right now for anyone else that's still here in the house, Lord God, that's still having that question, what is truth? But God, reveal yourself to them right now. Be the answer right now. Be the full answer that they need right now. Lord, I'm asking you right now that you would speak to their heart in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for salvation. I thank you, Lord God, for a life surrendered to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to ask BJ now just to lead you in a prayer. And if you want truth, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to pray this prayer in faith. I don't care where you are here in the house of the Lord. If you're standing by a loved one, a friend, a family member, if you're comfortable, take that person's hand. Your loved one, your friend, your brother, your sister, your sibling, grandparent. Hold their hand. And pray this prayer in faith. And if you're watching online too, this prayer's for you. This is your moment of truth. In Jesus Christ.
Just pray with me. Those of you who have come up, just pray with me and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm done living for myself. I want to live for you. Give me the strength to be who you created me to be, to live the life you created me to live, to do what I could never do in my own strength. Lord, I'm sorry that I've run for this long, but I thank you, Jesus, that your arms are open wide for me. I love you. I love you. Say it from your heart. I love you. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. Protect me and keep me and show me your power. I thank you. and in your precious name, Jesus, I pray.